Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good morning. You guys thought you were coming to first service, didn't you? I'm pretty sure that the person who came up with Daylight Savings was definitely an atheist. Why is it always on Sundays, right? Goodness. How many of you guys didn't even know it happened? Your phone just did it for you, right? Yeah, five of you. That's technology, right? So today we're going to talk about the keys to abundant life. You guys are going to see this logo, this life logo, around the next 4 weeks or so, and all the way up to Easter. And we're going to talk about abundant life. And we're going to get into that. I'm going to be shorter with my intro so that these guys have some really awesome stuff to share. We're going to talk about, have you guys seen this show on Netflix about Blue Zones? Has anybody read about Blue Zones, what they are? So they're like different communities that people study and people live a healthier, longer life. Well, today we're going to talk about kind of spiritual Blue Zones. What does it take to live a life where we can fully grasp everything it means to be a Christian, right? How many of you guys are like the type of person that likes to just be halfway into something? Like you just want to just barely commit, right? No, we want to fully commit, right? How many of you guys like to fully commit to something when you do it? Our Christian life is just the same. And I believe that for the most part, I think that we've barely scratched the surface of what we can be as Christians. Let's read this verse real quick and then I'll pray. But John 10:10 says this. It says the thief, and the thief is the devil, right? And his cronies, his demons, that whole crew, right? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Only. That's their only purpose. To steal, kill, and destroy. You guys have a target on you. How many of you guys know that when you became a Christian, life did not just automatically get smoother and easier, right? When you become a Christian, you start being attacked. And I don't like to put too much emphasis on who the devil is and all that stuff because I believe that God is much bigger. But at the same time, there are attacks that come. And so that's what the enemy's trying to do, steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, this is him saying this, he says, I came so that they, which is us, so that we would have life and we would have it abundantly. When you look up that word abundant in the Greek, it means more than what is necessary. And it talks about blessings. How many of you guys know that if we're living with God and things get hard, they get difficult. Trials come. And, you know, the pressures of this life raise, and they raise, and they raise, and they raise, as they do. That God's grace raises higher. It says that his grace is sufficient, always more than whatever trial is ahead of us. And so that's why James says, consider joy when you encounter various trials. Consider it joy because you're going to see God in a way that you wouldn't have otherwise. That's not what the scripture says, but that's what the idea is that he's going to lead you and guide you and develop an endurance in your life that you wouldn't have otherwise, right? And so today when we talk about these things, we're talking in the next 4 weeks leading up to Easter, we're talking about Jesus, obviously, and his death and his and him, you know, going away and the sacrifice that he made, but then he also rose. And when he rose in power. And then he handed that power off to his church, and that's who we are. So that's what we're talking about today, okay? You guys with me? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you that you're here. You're with us right now. You're so real, Lord. You're as real as this air that we breathe. We can't see the air, and we can't see you with our physical eyes, but we experience you, Lord. You've been there so much. You've been with these kids in Africa, Lord, through all these trials that they've done. You've been through these people that are out on the streets right now, Lord, and you've been with us as well. And I thank you for that, God. And I pray, Lord, that this morning that we would all be awake physically and spiritually, Lord. I pray that we would see you. We would hear you. We would trust you. And we would lay our burdens aside and let you take care of those while we focus on you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're going to start with Pastor Tom.
Hello, hello. I am the Northwest Campus pastor, so hello and hello to Northwest. Love you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're doing some cool things as a church. It's a privilege. So going back to what Pastor Josh was talking about in regards to Blue Zones, there are these pockets of people in the world that have more or less attributed certain ways of living to this this longevity or quality of life that they have developed over the years. And we're talking about just a handful of those today. Some of the things that they have that they have found, it just simply has to either do with their community, has to do with their outlook on life. And I want to talk about just two of them this morning before Josh and Vince continue. And one of them is rest. Something that's so important when it comes to Scripture. God instituted the benefits and the importance of rest right out the gate, right out in Genesis. After creation, God made a point to say, after the 6 days of creating, he then made a point to say, I am going to rest. And it is important that we rest. And I actually want to bring up a scripture that comes from Exodus chapter 16. And what's happening is Moses is talking to the people, and then he gets this word from the Lord, and he commands the people of God after the sixth day. And it says, now on the sixth day, they gathered twice. If you can go to verse 23 now. And it says, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance. Now, this is the first time that we are really seeing this idea of the word Sabbath or the idea of the day of rest. Now, if you're new to Christianity, what you are currently doing right now is part of a Sabbath day. It's resting. It's learning more about God. And Moses is instituting this for a variety of reasons, but at the bare minimum, God is making it clear to us that we are to rest. And what's very interesting too about Scripture is that God also tells us that when it comes to working the land, which is appropriate for Bakersfield, California, as an agricultural city and community, it says that we are supposed to work the land for 6 years, and on the seventh year, we're supposed to let the land rest. There's something to that. It's a foreign concept when it comes to American Christianity, or maybe even just California. We live so differently that they literally change the definition of a rolling stop. It's the California rolling stop. To stop at a stop sign, and then you're not really stopping. You're rolling through it. We just don't know how to do this, but still, God institutes the power of rest. And one of these qualities of a blue zone is they talk about the benefit of rest, that there is a need for us to rest. It helps with our longevity and our quality of life. They are just catching up to what the scriptures say. I want to mention another quality of the blue zones, and that is purpose. They say that with these blue zones, for people to know their purpose, from their website, it says this about purpose: a strong sense of purpose can really reduce stress in your life. You'll have less worry and anxiety, be more clear about your goals, be less motivated by the positive opinions of others, and you may not fret as much about decisions. When you know that the reason for your existence was intentional, that where you are at in life, that God is guiding you, and it is on purpose. This blue zone thing is saying, well, here's what we found out, that human beings, when they realize that they have a purpose, they're not so easily swayed by the people around them. Hello, Christians. That when we know, I mean, because let's face it, we talk about it all the time. When God is sending you over to somebody to go pray for them, when you lean in to God talking to you and saying, I need you to go pray for this person, and it's not this matter of like, oh, God, I hope you're with me, Lord. Please, please, please. You just go walk over like, uh-uh. God's going to do something through me to you. Let's do this. To live with purpose. To be confident in who we are. We all know Romans 8:28. We all know Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. You know, God's going to work all plans out for the good. It talks about this purpose, but I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. It says this, for we, that means every human being, are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, meaning on purpose. God created this and all before it all, he created you and I. He wanted us to be right here in this moment, right now, with all the artificial intelligences and all these robot vehicles that are out there. He wanted us here right now on purpose. That's every single one of us. But we are called to do good things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he, God, chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to the adoptions of sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself. Every single man and woman, it is intentional that God would send Jesus to die on our behalf to adopt us into the Father and into the fold of the kingdom. We are not people who have to live without purpose anymore. We are blood-bought sons and daughters of the living God. And so those are just the two points I saw from the Blue Zones. I'm going to hand it over now to Vince.
I love what you said, Tom, too, because we think about rest and one of the things that we talk about these Blue Zones is these people are fighting to save their lives. And in this fight, there's this sense that we're constantly doing this thing to save our lives. And the Bible says when you seek to save your life, you what? You lose it.
Yeah.
But when you lose your life, that's when you'll actually find Jesus. And so I like this idea of rest. Jesus even said himself, come to me. Those who are weary, like if you're tired, like come to me and I will give you this rest. And that rest doesn't happen from doing all these things that is going to prolong your life, but this rest comes in the surrender. So I love that you brought up rest because that's huge. One of the things that I wanted to cover in the Blue Zone I'm talking about today is in this Netflix docuseries, they talked about this idea of these different things saving your life. And one of the things that stuck out to me is they talked about people that lived in faith-based communities or that had faith that they could extend their lives 4 to 14 years based upon this faith they had. And that intrigued me because I love this idea that these people that are bought into their communities, like this place, VBF, I love this place because I feel like there's a lot of life here. But people that are brought into these faith-based communities, they extend their life by 4 to 14 years. But I was thinking about that word faith and why that faith produces not only an extension of this physical life, but why it produces an extension to our spiritual life, but as Jesus said, everlasting life. And so one of the things this word picture I wanted to bring to life that Jesus brought to life in the scriptures comes from Matthew 17:20. And in Matthew 17:20, there's a demon-possessed boy, and this man brings his son to Jesus and says, hey, my son's demon-possessed. And I brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't do anything about it. And could you imagine that moment? The disciples were like, we couldn't, yeah. And so Jesus goes ahead, he prays, and he delivers this demon. And the disciples are kind of thrown off, and they ask Jesus, like, why weren't we able to heal this boy from this demon possession? Like, what were we missing? And he says this in 20, he replied, because you had so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith a small amount as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now I love this passage for a couple reasons. One, as I was praying about it, I was thinking this could have been completely reversed. Jesus could have said, if you have the faith of a mountain, then you can move the mustard seed. Because I don't know about many of you guys, if you guys, you just put the picture of the mountain. Yeah, mountains are huge. He said, if you have this much faith, then you can do this. You can put the picture of the mustard seed up. You can move this mustard seed. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know about you guys, like I haven't figured out how to use the force yet. I haven't moved a mustard seed in this life, right? So like the idea of like moving something small even seems big to me, right? There's things in our life that are small that becomes really big sometimes. You guys know what I'm saying? Like there's small things in our life that we make a big deal. And so it could have been reversed, but I love that Jesus put it in this direction. He said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can go put the picture of the mountain up. You can move this mountain. And I love this idea because it's the idea that you can take this faith with you. It's not something that's planted. It's not something that's immovable, but it's something that's movable. So the faith that goes with us because of Jesus Christ, and that if we take that faith with us, then we will be able to move the immovable. Now that only happens when we go back to the cross, because what happens on the cross? Jesus dies. He conquers this thing, the thing that's immovable, right? We all know, and I don't want to sound all doom and gloom today, but as much as I love Blue Zones, we're all going to be faced with death. That's immovable. Unless you have Christ Jesus, right? And so on the cross, when we think about faith and we frame it in the framework of the cross, we have this idea that Jesus goes to the cross, he conquers the thing that's immovable, death. He rests in a tomb, as Tom talked about, and then he does what? He moves the immovable object, he rolls the stone away, and he brings life back. And in that, when we walk in the cross, 100%, when we walk in the spirit of the cross, when we walk in Christ, we are able to take the faith of the cross, take this thing that was immovable, death, that we cannot defeat, and through Christ Jesus, defeat that death. Now, one of the things that I love, this scripture in Romans 6:8, if you want to put that up for us, Sandy. It says, now, if we died in Christ, we believe that we also live with him. Go ahead and move forward. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. I want to stop here for a second. Hear that today. Death no longer has mastery over you, right? Like you could just put this on your, you could write this on the back, like in your windshield. Death no longer has mastery over us. Because some of us, even though we've come out of that tomb, we still feel like, that this death has mastery over us. We live in fear sometimes. Right? I know I live in fear a lot. There's this, one of the hardest things that I had to walk through in life was when my daughter was little, we thought we were going to lose her. We went to the hospital. They thought she was sick. And they're like, she just has the stomach flu. And I knew. I had this gut-wrenching feeling. My wife's like, Vince, you're a hypochondriac a little bit, right? But I'm like, babe, this is different. Like, she is sick. And I just felt it. I felt it. I'm like, something's not right here. And they were going to release us from the hospital. And I'm like, God, I don't want to take her home. Something is more off than what I see here. And she ended up passing a bloody stool, and then they kept her immediately. And then they found out that her intestine was tied. And this is like after 3 days where she just could not keep anything down. She's a baby, mind you, at this point. And so they transfer us immediately to the Fresno Healthcare Center, where the Children's Hospital. And we go there. And I remember this is one thing I'll never forget, and this only comes from faith and peace in God. The doctor comes out, looks at my wife and I, and says, there's a chance she may not make it. And if you have kids today, those are like the last things you want to hear as a parent. Like you're already thinking the worst case scenario. And like I told last service, like I always go to worst case scenario, but this, I never imagined a doctor coming out. Like this is something from a movie, like, hey, she may not make it. And I remember grabbing my wife's hand and saying, let's pray. And my prayer was this, and this will shock people, but this is what, I knew this had to be the prayer I had to pray. I said, God, you are God. Whether she lives or die, we know that you are still on the throne, and that tomorrow will be another day. If it's your will, heal her. And if it's not, then we accept it. And most people would say, you can't accept that. But the faith came that, again, having that mustard was that God is going to do what he always does, and that's be faithful. And what has he been faithful to? Not to my comfort in this world, but to the cross and the comfort in eternity, right? And so in my framework, I had to be comfortable with being okay that losing something here, knowing that something bigger, that God had something bigger in store. She's actually here today out in youth, and she survives, right? Like this is the miracle of the whole thing, yes. But to pray the prayer to say, even if she doesn't, I'm okay with that. And going, if you can pull that verse back up, Sandy, 6:8, being okay with not going back to the past, that we can move forward in Christ. You can go ahead and jump to the next verse. It says, the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. The good news, guys, today is you are alive in Christ Jesus. You are alive through the cross. And so no matter what, Bakersfield's not a blue zone, guys, right? Let's just be real. It's a brown zone, maybe. I have this wish. I'm optimistic enough to believe that we can make Bakersfield a blue zone by the faith in our community. But we are not promised to make our lives stretch out longer. But our eternal life, this spiritual blue zone, we have life for eternity. And that's so much more than just living for 4 to 14 years. We've extended our life into the kingdom of God, and that's what matters today. So if you're here today and you might be saying, I've accepted Christ. My message to you is carry that faith with you. Don't abandon it at the cross. Don't abandon it at the tomb. Carry it with you and carry it with you in such a way that you can continue to overcome and continue to move the immovable. And if you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ, know that death has no hold on you, that you can overcome that through Christ Jesus.
You know, I was talking to these guys beforehand, and I said, you know, we study, we prepare, we have notes, we have these things, but ultimately, what the Spirit is speaking on the stage is how we roll. And so one of the things I want to bring up about your talk, and I think it's really interesting with the photos. So Sandy, can you pull up that mustard seed photo one more time? So, okay, look at this little tiny seed, right? Tiny, tiny, tiny seed. And it's almost like when you get saved, God gives you that much faith, right? He's like, here you go. There's a little bit of faith. You can work with that, right? And I think many of us, we see the tiny seed and we're like, well, that's not real significant, right? That's not real significant. I must not be significant. But we kind of all start with that little tiny bit. And what you do with it matters, because what you do with it will grow, right? Now go back to the faith slide that says faith. Sandy, if you can, pull this up. Now watch this little seed. Now you see that's a field of mustard. That's a field of mustard seed. So what happens to that seed in order for it to grow into a field of mustard seed? What happens is it falls in the dirt. It falls in the mud, right? It gets dirty. It gets trampled on. It gets rained on, and it's not exactly the best life for that seed, you wouldn't think. But yet it is the way that the seed grows. I think that sometimes we get too caught up in being comfortable. Life's not comfortable, is it? Is it comfortable? Let me ask you: are you comfortable all the time? No. But yet we've been lied to. We've been told that we're supposed to be. Let me say that again. We've been lied to and we've been told that we're supposed to be comfortable. We're not supposed to be comfortable. We're supposed to learn how to walk with Jesus through uncomfortable situations, right? Through difficult situations. And there is a deep comfort in that. There really, truly is. But I wouldn't say that it's like lay on the beach comfortable, right? Now, if you have those moments like Tom talked about where you can rest for a moment, take those moments, because we need those moments. Schedule those moments in. But the majority of life isn't comfortable. That's why you need that little bit of rest, right? I was going to talk about community. I'm still going to talk about community, but the word community is not even in the Bible. It's not even in the Bible. The word church is in the Bible. And the Greek word for that is ecclesia, and the root of that word basically has a meaning in it that it's to call out. It's basically the idea of God calls out these people to live life together. That's what the church is. That's who we are. Right? The church isn't this building. It's a great building. I'm glad we have it. I'm glad that we're protected from the elements, from the brown zone that's outside, right? I'm glad we're protected from that. But ultimately, the church is us, right? It's us. It's who we are. I'm going to read you guys a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to take communion together. And we take it together because we are a community, right? We are a community, right? We are unified together. So I'm going to read these scriptures, and then we're going to take communion together, and we are going to get into this in the next few weeks. I want you, though, after you leave here today, just take a note, maybe a mental note, maybe you write it down. But I want you to think about and pray about, what does it mean for me to live the abundant life? How is my life going to be different from here on out? How am I going to go one step deeper into what Christ has for me? How is my life different from the person that doesn't have Jesus in their lives? Think about this, okay? Let's go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Part of my struggle is that my eyesight is leaving. Okay, not leaving, but, you know, just easier to read. Paul is he's begging. He's begging these people. Okay? He's saying, listen, if there's one thing that I want you to do, I want you to walk in a manner that is worthy of your calling. God himself, the one who created Mount Everest and the depths of the ocean, and who created all these wonderful people and the other ones too, he's called you. He's called you. And Paul says, if you do anything, walk like you're called. Walk like he has said, you are part of my church. You're part of my body. You're part of who I am. You're part of what I do. So walk in a manner that's worthy of your calling with all humility. Because it's going to be hard. That's going to be the challenge. Is walking in humility is going to be a challenge when you know that you're called by God. When you know that you're formed by God. When you know that God has your back. When you know that God is with you. Humility is a struggle, right? But humility doesn't mean thinking less of yourself, as we know. It means understanding where the power comes from. It's understanding who's got your back, and that's God. Like the kid who's getting bullied on the schoolyard, but his big brother's there, right? We have a much bigger brother, right? With all humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, it says in verse 4, one body. Okay, and one Spirit, just as you also were called in one hope of your calling, the Lord, one faith and one baptism, one God, one Father, who is over all and through all and in all. We are individually members of one another, is what it says. This is where Paul explains it in another scripture. We're part of each other. And so today I'm gonna have the worship team come out, and they're gonna do a worship song, and we're gonna take communion. And you guys have the elements, I hope. You guys have them? Yeah. Okay, cool. So if you're new to communion, if you're new to the faith, if you're not a Christian, don't take communion. Okay, it's not for you. Just leave it there. Not a big deal. It's okay. But if you are a Christian, you need it. Okay, guys, ushers, there's some folks. If you need the elements, just raise your hand, and they'll get to you. So the cracker represents, the bread represents the body of Christ that was broken on the cross. The blood represents the blood that was spilled on the cross. And so when we do communion, we're remembering who Jesus is to us and what he did for us, that he sacrificed himself and he died. He full on died. His body was dead for 3 days. But then after that, he resurrected. And so just like that little mustard seed, think about the mustard seed. When we take communion and we remember who he was, we're remembering the death. We're thinking of the death of that mustard seed. It's being buried. It's being trampled upon. It's done. It's completely gone. And just like our lives, we're burying a huge part of our life, right? We're always burying the part that doesn't need to exist anyway. Burying that, and then just like the seed sprouts up into a forest of trees, we are going to sprout up and new life is going to come through us. And so when we acknowledge who Jesus is, it's not just his death. It is his death. It's not just his death. It's also his resurrection, right? You guys with me? So let's pray, and I'm going to ask you to do communion, and then you're dismissed, and you guys go when you need to go, okay? Let's pray this. Father, I thank you for this church, and I pray, God, that you would bless this church. I pray, God, that you would bring to us a new level of faith. bring to us a new level of love for one another. Bring to us just more blessings in who you are, God, and a humility and just everything that we need. I pray, Lord, that as we do communion this morning, that something special would take place, that we would leave the old things behind. Maybe we've done it 1,000 times before. Maybe we've done it 100,000 times before. I pray right now, God, that something would take place, Lord, that we would leave the old ways behind and we would just remember you in your death, but we'd also remember you in your resurrection. I pray for new life on this church. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is